in Galatians chapter number 6, I want to read one verse of Scripture, and then we'll be preaching in the chapter. I haven't forgot about the message that we started last Sunday. Don't get worried about that. I just feel led of the Lord to go here this morning, and as far as I know right now, we'll pick back up in Ephesians chapter 4 on the gift that keeps on taking on Wednesday night. But this morning, I want to look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. The Bible said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Again, Galatians 6, 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Galatians, concerned about God's people growing weary. And I want to address this morning out of this chapter as the Lord leads, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Father, I need your help, and God, we need you to just come down among us and visit with us today. Help us, our Father, in this service, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we head into this wonderful season, that, Lord, it would be wonderful, and Lord, that we would not be weary. God, that we would be a blessed people, that we would go forth with your word, in your spirit, in your power, and Lord, that you'll use us for thy name's sake. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen and amen. Let's get right into the message this morning. I want to look, first of all, at the potential problem. There's just two main points that I want to look at today, but the first thing I want to look at is a potential problem. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean potential?" Well, weariness is potentially a problem for the children of God, or the Apostle Paul would have not written this in the Bible under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It's sad, but this that we're supposed to enjoy, many of God's people will end up enduring. Some people can't wait for it to be over. Are you listening to me tonight? I mean, they're already wore out. And God said not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Let's look at a couple things quickly. The causes of growing weary. I believe, first of all, the cause is seen in our sowing. There's a problem in our sowing. Look at verse 7 and verse number 8. The Bible said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You say, "Now, preacher, we're God's people. Surely we wouldn't sow to the flesh." Then you tell me why Paul put that in the Bible. Amen? You tell me if it's an automatic that we're going to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit, why we have these challenges in the Word of God. We see in verse number 12 and verse number 13 what the Bible said here. "And as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh." You say, "Preacher, what's the potential problem here?" It's a problem if we grow weary. And the problem is caused from our sowing. Let me give you something. You can get so busy that you'll forget to sow to the Spirit. You'll forget to sit at the feet of Jesus. You'll forget to pray. You'll forget that that person in front of you in line and behind you in line may or may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. And forget the reason that we have for the season is none other than He that loved us and gave Himself for us. There's a problem. There's a negative problem here. That's sowing to the flesh. And in chapter 5, if you will, in verse number 16, look what the Bible said. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Reminds me of what an old preacher said one time. He said, it's the best way I can describe it. He said, "It's like there's two dogs living down inside of me. A good dog and a bad dog. And they're all the time scrapping." How many knows what that word means? Scrapping. Fighting, picking at one another. Amen. Well,
somebody asked the old preacher, said, well, tell me, since they're all the time scrapping, which one of them wins? This is what he said. Whichever one I feed the most. I want to say to God's dear people, don't forget to feed the spiritual man. Amen. Or you'll get wore out with this world and wore out with the things of this world. And I believe God wants us to understand that we have a responsibility to Him, to our church, to one another, to our family, to walk in the Spirit as we go through this precious season. The Bible said here, if you be led of the Spirit, then you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of people are going to celebrate Christmas a whole lot differently than you and I are as God's people. Amen. And God said, be careful. Don't be sowing to the flesh. Sow to the Spirit. So the problem, the potential problem, we see the causes of growing weary. But then there's the positive side of that sowing. And that's faith. Amen. God wants us to increase in our faith. Then there's not only a problem in our sowing, but there's a problem in ourselves. Look at verse number 3. The Bible said, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And so what can happen? Beloved, listen, even in a season where Jesus is supposed to be up there above all, amen, and supposed to be worshipped above all, if we're not careful, my friend, there's be something creep up inside of us called pride, and we'll be looking at what so-and-so got so-and-so, or what I got so-and-so, or what so-and-so got me, and forget the Savior, and not see anything but so-and-so and the stuff. Amen. And God wants us to understand there can be a problem in ourselves. The Bible said, if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Go with me, if you will, the book of Romans, chapter number 12. I think this paints a wonderful picture. The Bible said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, verse number 1, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's that positive sowing. But look at verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You say, preacher, what'll keep us from thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think? I'll tell you one thing that'll help you, my friend, is just remember where you would be without Him. Remember what you would be without Him. I tell you, without Him, beloved, we can do nothing. Without Him, we're nothing. But Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that'll cause us to think right. There's a problem in our sowing that causes us to grow weary. There's a problem in ourselves that can cause us to grow weary. And then in verse number 1, there's a problem in our spirit that can cause us to grow weary. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. This past week, I'll be sharing it with the church later as God leads. But I got an email about a missionary family that's in trouble. And beloved, they're going to have to come off of the mission field. Listen to me. When I got that, listen, I wasn't thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. What I was thinking is, it's the grace of God. It's not Miss Eve and I. And what I was wanting to do with every fiber of my being is offer myself anything I can do. I wrote in an email back. I said, brother, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing your wife can do to keep me from loving you. A brother loveth at all times. Amen. And if we're not careful, beloved, we'll get weary because of that problem in the spirit. And we'll look around at people's problems and we'll think, well, I don't have that problem. What we ought to be doing is entering in and bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. That's what we ought to be doing. There's a potential problem, growing weary in well-doing. There's the cause of growing weary. But look at the cure for growing weary. I thank God there's a cure, don't you? It's found in what we see. Look in verse number 14. Brother Ralph, I about shouted on the first choir song. God has way of lining things up, don't he? Amen. Look at verse number 14. Then Brother Gary testified, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You say, preacher, what do we need to see to keep us from growing weary? What's the cure? We need to see, number one, the Christ. We need to see Him. The apostle, Paul writes in Hebrews 11, by faith, he's talking about Moses. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. What can help us not to be weary? What can help us to be strong in the Lord? What can help us to walk with the Lord, have a testimony for the Lord, have a spring in our step, not be weary in well-doing? I tell you, we need to see the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that will help us, amen, along the way, not to be weary in well-doing. But listen, Jesus, the Bible said, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. My friend, this Christmas, listen, the multitudes may not see Him, but He sees them, and He's still moved with compassion upon them, just like He was in the days of old. Amen. Thank God He is. He's moved with compassion. Listen, I want us to see Him. Listen, I want us to see Him, but I want us to see them as well. They're all around, amen, that have no idea what Christmas is all about. Number one, we need to see the Christ. That's the cure for growing weary. Number two, we need to see the cross. That's the cure for growing weary. Beloved, when you get down, take your trip to Calvary. I tell you what, it'll pick you up. Amen. You might think, well, boys, I'm in bad shape. Take your trip to Calvary. Take your trip to Calvary. Go by the old rugged cross. Go by Golgotha. Let God take you in His Word to that place where the Son of God gave His life for you and for me. I believe it'll help. Amen. We need to see the cross. Many this Christmas season, they're going to see a Christmas tree decorated in all of its splendor. But they're going to miss the real Christmas tree where God delivers poor lost sinners because of that man that was willing to give His life on that old rugged cross. Let me read you something this morning. I thought this was just something that it spoke to my heart. I pray it'll speak to yours. A medical doctor is writing this, and the title is, What is Crucifixion? He said, the cross is placed on the ground, and the exhausted man is quickly thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. The legionnaire feels for the depression at the front of the wrist. He drives a heavy, square, wrought iron nail through the wrist and deep into the wood. Quickly, he moves to the other side and he repeats the action, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly, but to allow some flex and movement. The cross is then lifted into place. The left foot is pressed backward against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees flexed. The victim is now crucified. As he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in the wrist, excruciating, fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. The nails in the wrist are putting pressure on the median nerves. As he pushes himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he places the full weight on the nail through his feet. Again, he feels the searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. As the arms fatigue, cramps sweep through the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps comes the inability to push himself upward to breathe. Air can be drawn into the lungs, but not exhaled. He fights to raise himself in order to get even one small breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. spasmodically. He is able to push himself upward to exhale and bring in life-giving oxygen. Hours of this limitless pain, cycles of twisting, joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain as tissue is torn, his lacerated back as he moves up and down against the rough timber. Then another agony begins, a deep crushing pain deep in the chest pericardium is what it looks like, slowly fills with serum and begins to compress the heart. It's now almost over. The loss of tissue fluids has reached a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to gasp in small gulps of air. He can feel the chill of death creeping through his tissues. Finally, he can allow his body to die. All of this, the Bible records in these little simple words, and they crucified him. I tell you, if we can see Christ, it'll help us. If we can see the cross, it'll help us, amen, not to be weary in well-doing. They crucified him. Beloved, most, would give up under the scourge, let alone the crucifixion that Jesus faced. You say, preacher, what's Christmas all about? I tell you what, it's not about a pine tree. It's about an old rugged cross, amen. You say, I thought it was about a manger. It is, if you remember why he came, if you remember how he came, born of a virgin, pure, innocent, that he might give the innocent blood for those that are guilty. That's why he came. What a blessing. Listen, we're all prone to get weary in well-doing. We're all prone to get weary in well-doing. I said we're all prone to get weary in well-doing. But I tell you, God, Son, the Lord Jesus, can help us put another foot in front of another, and by the grace of God, walk on for his name's sake. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, not only do we need to see the Christ, that'll help us not to be weary. Not only do we need to see the cross, that'll help us not to be weary. But I tell you something else we need to see. We need to see his coming. Honey, I tell you what's the truth. Brother Randy, I don't want him to come after me. And me standing in some line in a department store, bent all out of shape. Help me this morning. He's coming, amen. He's coming for those that are his own. He's coming for the church. And beloved, we ought to be looking for him. And if we're looking for him, that'll keep us from getting tangled up in this mess in this world that we live in. Oh, beloved friend, be not weary in well-doing. Listen, there's so many good things we can do this month especially. The Bible said, if you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially them that are the household of faith. But let me tell you something right now. If you're not careful, you'll exchange the good for the best. Honey, the best is walking with him. The best is fellowshipping with him. The best is talking with him. While I was prepared to preach, Sister Danita, I couldn't help but think about the people that are trying their best to memorize their lines, about all the work that will go in. It's kind of like a lady fixing a Thanksgiving meal. All that work, and in 15 minutes, it's over. All that work, and in an hour, hour and a half, it'll be over. Unless the pastor wants to run it again. Amen. I just reminded you, amen. That happened one time. Oh, that look was priceless. Amen. But let me give you something. It'd be easy to be weary doing the right thing. But God wants us to keep our eyes on him. Listen, I'm not fussing this morning. I'm just telling you things that I've heard. And who I heard it from was a reputable source. Let me tell you something right now. The Christmas play is not a joke. It's not a time to be joking around. It's not a time to be clowning around. It's a time to be serious. It's a time to serve the Lord. It's a time to realize some poor lost soul may be sitting there watching that doesn't even have a clue what Christmas is all about. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, He wants us not to be weary, but He wants us, my friend, to be engaged with Him and realize in due season we'll reap if we faint not. We need to see His coming. Let me give you this. Not only is it found, the cure for growing weary found in what we see, but it's found in how we serve. Look at verse number 2. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look at verse number 10. The Bible said, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let me tell you something right now. Especially this time of year, if you're looking for an opportunity to serve, I'll guarantee you, you won't have to look far and you'll find it. You can do something to help someone along the way. And what a blessing that would be. Keep you from growing weary in well-doing. Let me give you this, number 2 in the message, and I'm done. I want you to look. We looked at the potential problem, but I want us to look at the precious promise. The Bible said, in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. In other words, we have services, we have visitation, I noticed the teen Christmas party was announced, the children's Sunday school will have a meal, we'll have a Christmas play, the Lord willing. Listen, what we need to do is believe God's promise. He said we'd reap. You say, now preacher, does that mean somebody's going to get saved next Sunday night? Maybe it does, maybe it don't. Let me tell you something right now. You don't always reap the day you sow. I'm believing God, Brother Steve. We had some visits yesterday. I'm just believing God's going to let us reap. We may not reap today, but God will let us reap. Because He said, sow that good seed. If it's good seed, it falls in good ground. Hallelujah, it'll bring forth good fruit. Amen. There's a promise in due season, you shall reap. David said it like this. He said, I had fainted unless I believed to see. Brother Ralph, David was a man after God's own heart. If the potential was there for him to faint, don't you reckon you and I could fall out on the Lord? Fall out of the way. Give up. Honey, I tell you something. David said, I was close. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You're probably not going to see the goodness of the Lord at Sears. You're probably not going to see the goodness of the Lord at JCPenney. You're probably not going to see the goodness of the Lord. Sometimes you can. Sometimes maybe somebody will have some manners about them, some kindness about them, and you'll see the goodness of the Lord. But I tell you where you'll always see the goodness of the Lord, right here. I tell you one thing, if you bend this knee, and you know you've got heaven's attention, you know heaven's listening, you know heaven cares about you, you know you don't have a problem that heaven can't take care of. Beloved, and that happens in your life, it's precious. You can see the goodness of the Lord. Every once in a while, God will let us see results in the work of God. He'll let us see the reaping, the reaping. One preacher said one time, he said, I believe we're just gleaning in the corners of the field now. I'm glad to be in the corner of his field. Brother Rose, I'm glad I'm not in the field I used to be in. I'd rather be in the corner of his field than in the middle of that field that I used to be in. There's a precious promise. In due season we'll reap. The Bible said in Revelation 2:3, hast borne, hast patience. For my name's sake hast labored, hast not fainted. God took notice of that in the church. He said, you've borne, you've had patience. For my name's sake you labored, and you haven't fainted. What a blessing. God takes notice of that. And then in closing, Isaiah 40, verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How many wants to walk on with Him and not faint? Amen. I tell you, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in well-doing. If you're not careful, you'll get caught up so much in the commercial and forget about the Christ. I beg you, take time to sit down with your children. Take time. Take time to read them the Christmas story in the Bible. Take time to teach them that Christmas is more than what comes in a box under a tree. Take time to teach them about that tree called Calvary. My friend, the Bible said, cursed is every man that hangs upon a tree. Take time to teach the children that He became a curse for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You say, preacher, where are you going when you leave this world? I'm going to heaven. Say, preacher, how are you going to get there? Say, the way everybody goes to heaven gets there, by way of the cross. I'm going by Calvary, by the blood that was shed on that old rugged tree. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank You for the encouragement from the Word of God. Lord, not to be weary in well-doing. But Lord, You said in due season we'll reap if we faint not. Help, Lord, I pray, in everything that's going on at the church, the children's, the churches, the classes, the play. So many things going on, Lord. And Lord, that's good. But Lord, I pray that we would determine not to let it keep us from Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Lord, I realize that Jesus is coming. What we do, we must do quickly. But Lord, help us to not forget to rest. Help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that You are going to come. Help us to be about our Father's business, doing our Father's work, our Father's way, when You come after us.